Elizabeth, how the hell are you?
I'm freaking amazing. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so happy to have you here today because, one, I love this neighborhood. We live in Del Paso Heights. I like to call it Del Paso Arcade. To try to get us out of the Heights stigma that some people have. I'm like, no, it's really, it's like kind of Del Paso Arcade. But I love this neighborhood. I've been in this neighborhood now for 6 or 7 years, and I try to do as much as I can in the neighborhood. And I discovered your shop. I don't know if I like Googled it or if it was,
You said that, no, I don't remember.
Well, first of all, tell us what your shop is and then we'll jump into that.
Okay, so I am a licensed esthetician. I have my own waxing business. So I primarily do full body waxing, facial, body, specialize in bikini and Brazilian waxes for women. And I also do the occasional little skin services. So like I offer back facials, I offer vajacials, and
what's a vajacial?
A vajacial is like a facial.
I'm gonna
for your
ask
coochie.
So many like dumb guy questions.
No, it's okay. Yeah, so a vajacial is like a facial for your coochie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a popular thing?
It is a popular thing. I mean, maybe it's because I'm an adult now and now I hear more of it. When I was a kid, I didn't really hear much of
well,
it.
I
or
hope
even
not.
even as a teenager, like I never heard of it. But yeah, maybe it's because I'm an adult now and I'm in this industry as well that it's something I know about.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a very nice little treat yourself kind of thing for women.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so how did you hear that I heard about your shop?
You gave one of the girls that also works in the same location a ride through
Lyft?
Your Lyft. Yes.
Okay.
You gave her a ride home. And then I think she was talking to you about me. And then you were like, oh, I have to book her. And then next thing you know, you were my very first client that was new to me. So anybody I had coming in was like friends, family, people that I already knew. You were my very first stranger client. So I remember the day that I saw your name, I was like, Jesse Rivera, who is
this?
And I was like trying to look you up and I was like, I don't know. And then I texted you and we were in contact for a cool little minute through text and I was like, okay, this is gonna be good.
Okay,
be good. Yeah.
Cool.
So that's how you came to me.
All right, so now it's coming back to me. Yes, I drive Lyft on the weekends and at night. It's so much fun. Like I get to meet so many random people, mm-hmm. You know? And I was at the point where like these eyebrows, the nose hair that was just out of control. Like I could braid it. Like it was just crazy. And you're probably looking at it right now because it needs.
I can't see it. You're too far from me.
It needs some attention right now. And I was like, oh my gosh, like a waxing person in my neighborhood. I want to do this.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think I've gone to you at least. I think I've gone to you twice now.
Twice. I remember the first time we did your brows and your nose. I don't remember anything specific about your brows, but I remember you were like, oh, I hope my mocos didn't come out with the nose. That's what I remember from our first session.
Did they? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
We also joked about, like, sometimes you'll put, like, a waxing, and you'll be like, what body part did this come from?
Uh-huh.
That's hilarious. Do you get crazy responses to those?
I mean, they only can respond to whatever I put as an option.
Oh,
but
you
yeah,
put the polls? Okay.
Yeah, a lot of times people don't know what the hell they're doing.
Okay. All right. I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. So how long ago did you, what led you to the path of like, I want to do this and I want my own shop?
I've always.
Like you rent that corner of the shop, right?
Yeah. I've always been a DIY kind of person. So I've always been into doing my own makeup. I do my own hair. I can do my own nails. I've always been able to do my own wax. So when I was in college is when I was, you know, on a budget. So
yeah.
I went to Sally's, got the equipment, and just started learning to wax myself. Like the first wax that I ever did on myself was crazy. I gave myself my own Brazilian. That was the wildest thing I think I could have ever done.
Is that recommended?
No, I think you should go to a professional. You should definitely go to a professional because there's so many things that can go wrong. But after that, I kind of just started doing it more and more. And then I was dating this older guy at one point, and he had his own massage. He was a professional massage therapist for years. And I kind of just looked up to him and how he had his own business, make his own money, make his own schedule, all that stuff. And I was like, wow, that's cool. And like, I have my degree. I have a whole bachelor's. It's just collecting dust in my parents' house right now. And at the time, I was still just working at the restaurant as a server. And I was like, what the hell am I going to do with my life? You know, I thought I wanted to be a teacher. I worked with kids. And then I was like, oh, hell no, I don't want to do that anymore. And I don't know. I was like, let me look into beauty school. Let me see what it's about. And I decided, okay, let me do this. Let me go to esthetician school because I want to do waxing. I don't care for hair and nails. So I was like, fuck Cosmo. And I got into school, ended up loving it. Finished school within 6 months, got my license, and my very first job, what are the odds, was a waxing job.
Wow.
Yeah, so it just all came together so well. I wanted to go on my own. So in our industry, when we want to leave whatever establishment we're at, we want to work for ourselves, we call it going solo.
Okay.
So I wanted to go solo because I was working at a... if I should say their name. I was working at a very popular franchise of waxing, and everything I heard from before I started working there, like, oh, they're not pleasant to work with, they overwork you, like, everything was so true.
Happening.
It was so true. I felt overworked, I felt undervalued. And I was like, I can't do this anymore. One day, I just hit my breaking point. Next day, I went into work, put in my 2 weeks.
Wow.
And then the ball just started rolling so fast.
So when you did that, did you already have a plan?
I had no plan. I knew that eventually I wanted to go solo, but I wasn't sure exactly when it was going to happen. I was hoping within a year. My plan was just to work at the restaurant a little bit longer and just get myself together, you know?
Yeah.
But one of my coworkers, I was talking to her. I told her that I put in my 2 weeks. She was like, what are you going to do? Are you going to keep waxing? I was like, I want to, but I don't have a spot for it. She's like, hey, I have a spot. You want to come check it out? I was like, sure. I went. It was five minutes down the street from my house.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, damn, I'd be stupid to say no to this opportunity, you know? And we were going to split the rent for the first whatever months that we were together. A month into it, she's like, okay, I'm leaving. It's all yours. So I took over the rent, and then I was able to do everything my way, you know? So that's how the opportunity came to me. So here I am. I'm about to go into my 7th month. I think that's freaking crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wait, let's back up a little bit, because I want to know, did you grow up in this city?
Yes.
This side of town?
I was born at Mercy General Hospital by the Fab 40s.
Okay.
But I live here in North Sac. I live in the flats. Do you know where the flats are?
I've heard it said before, but I don't know.
See, that's how you know when someone's a native and a local.
Yeah.
So the flats, do you know where the Strawberry Manors are?
Yes.
Okay, it's right on the other side of the levee.
Okay.
So it's right off of the Norwood area. It's the flats. They call it the flats because at one point all of the houses had flat rooftops.
A couple of houses in this neighborhood still have flat rooftops.
Yeah, so yeah. I live in the flats. I went to school at Grant High School. Do you know where that is?
Dude, I was going to say, okay, I'm not from this neighborhood, uh-huh. right? I grew up in Bakersfield, but I moved to this neighborhood 7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I freaking love this neighborhood. I love it. I love it. I love it. One of the greatest compliments I ever got, somebody was like, did you go to Grant?
And
I was I was like, what?
Yeah, so...
Yeah. I love the high school I went to. I prided it. But man, if I'd have grown up out here and I'd have went to Grant High, I would have...
Oh. You would have what they call Pacer Pride. And we have this little hashtag. It's PC4L, Pacer for Life. And that's anyone who ever went there, we take so much pride in the fact that we went there.
I know.
Yeah, because that school, it has such a negative... people look so down on it. They're like, oh, that school's ghetto. That school's bad. You're not going to do anything with your life if you go there. And honestly, look at me. I turned out great.
You turned out great. And what did their football team do last year?
Oh, they made it to the state championship. Yeah. And then the year before that, they won the state championship.
Yes.
My senior year, we made it to this. No, it wasn't the state championship. I believe it was the game right before the state championship. But they got their ring that year. So that tells you they went far.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that school, the sports are pretty on point.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a local comic, Dejan Tyler, once asked me, he's like, did you go to Grant? And I was like, no, but let me let this soak in for a second. Okay, so you grew up out here, went to Grant. Where'd you go to college and what'd you study?
I went to UC Santa Cruz, straight out of high school.
Hell yeah.
So graduated freshly 18, and come September, I'm moving to Santa Cruz. It was... What was your question?
Where'd you go to college? What'd you study?
Okay. What did I study?
Love your jacket.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I got it at the thrift store.
I love it.
Thank you. I studied Latin America and Latino studies with a minor in education.
Wow.
I went into school as environmental studies thinking I wanted to like save the planet or whatever.
Well, yeah, we all go through that.
and then I think it was in my second year, I just realized every STEM class that I had to take, I hated it. I hated it so much. It was just not for me. Science, math, not for me. So then I changed my major. I just dropped the major and I was like, let me just explore some classes. I took a Latin America and Latino studies class. I was like, wow, this really resonates with me. I feel more connected to it. I understand it. You know, this is my people where I come from. So I just stuck with that. And later on, the education part came in because I wanted to be a teacher at some point. As I said earlier, I worked with kids and then I realized,
Fuck, hell no.
Yeah. Fuck that shit. But respectfully, fuck them kids.
yeah, it's rough. Where are your people from? How many generations back does your family go to?
Where to? My parents are Mexican, both okay. of them from the same town in Michoacan.
It's Michoacan, I can smell it.
Yeah.
Chichinchong.
Yeah, so I believe I am first generation, second gen, I'm not sure.
So your parents were born in?
No. My parents immigrated here.
Okay.
But so all of my siblings, we were all born here.
Okay, so you're first generation.
Okay, so I'm first generation,
wow.
Yeah.
Wow, awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So am I.
That's cool.
I'm very proud of that.
Uh-huh.
I'm very proud of you for what you've accomplished in such a short time.
Thank you.
How was it more exciting or more scary to open up a shop?
Oh, it was terrifying. I remember the very, it all happened so fast. The day that I posted, okay, I'm open to start taking clients, book your appointment. I remember I was working at the restaurant that day and I posted the link while I was there. I didn't have any bites. I didn't have anybody doing anything. I felt so discouraged. I went through a wave of emotions. I cried so much while I was at work because I was like, nobody wants to book with me. Nobody wants to do this with me. And I was losing my shit. And then finally, when I got the very first appointment, I was like, I started crying again. You know, it was just that.
Did you take a screenshot of it?
I don't know. Probably. Uh-huh. Somewhere in my phone. I'm a screenshot hoarder, though. But yeah, it was really scary because, you know, I don't know anything about business. Like, I didn't take business classes when I was in school. I'm still learning everything as I go. And it was a lot. But I'm glad that I took that leap of faith and that I started it because now I'm here, like I said, 7 months in. And I believe this month of February, I'm having the best month that I've had. And that was expected because it is Valentine's Day.
I was going to say, did Valentine's Day, did a lot of people treat themselves or a lot of people buy gifts for other people?
It was freaking crazy. Everybody was getting waxed for their, for their significant other. It was busy. Like, I was like, damn. How I worked at the waxing place before, we would go back to back because we were speed waxers there. And now that I'm working on my own, I don't really have to push myself to go that fast anymore. I can slow down and take my time to give quality services. But because they were booking back to back, I felt like I was working at the other place again.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was a nice little wake up call, like, okay girl, you're doing this now.
What? Let me tell you that you said like you didn't take business classes and you didn't that, but you're a generation that grew up with your phone.
Kind of.
When did you get your first phone?
I got my first phone when I was in the eighth grade. So I was what, like 14?
Okay.
It was really hard too. It was my very first phone. Do you guys remember the I think it was like the LG chocolate? Mine was a red one. Like, it was a slide-up phone.
I had one of those. I loved it. And then it had the QWERTY keyboard.
Yep.
I had one of those. Yeah.
No, it didn't have the QWERTY keyboard.
Oh, it didn't have the QWERTY?
It was the numbers. Like, okay. I know how to text with the numbers. I don't think this new generation would, but I know how.
Yeah, I had an LG, and it was like, so it was like this, and then you slid up the thing, uh-huh. And then the keyboard was right here.
Yeah, and that was my, like, second or third phone, I think.
Okay.
I didn't get an iPhone until, I was, like, a sophomore or junior in high school.
Ay, pobrecita.
I know. No, it was fine. I loved my phones because I also had one of the ones that you would flip up and it had the whole QWERTY keyboard.
Uh-huh.
I felt like a boss on it.
Yeah, typing on a QWERTY keyboard was sick.
Yeah, that's something that they're coming out with pretty cool new phones lately that are similar to that. Like, they flip and stuff. I think that's pretty cool.
I like the phone that flips, but I won't. I won't leave Team iPhone.
I won't either. All right. I'm Team iPhone for life now. They have my, I'm iPhone. I'm Apple's bitch.
Oh, I have my watch. Look, yeah, I have my watch, my phone. I have a machine, an iPad. It's all.
I got it all too.
Yeah, it's all connected.
I got it all too.
Yeah, but what I was gonna say is that when I booked my appointment with you, and I think I told you this when I showed up, like, it was so easy to book the appointment. Like, like so many people on Instagram call themselves entrepreneurs and try to push a product to you, and then you try to bite on what they're selling you, and it's a dead link, or it doesn't work on mobile, or just, or they don't respond.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many times I've like wanted someone to do a graphic for me or a flyer for me, and I'll follow the link and I'll hit the submit, and I never hear back from them. But that day that I booked my appointment with you, I think I had it. It was like less than a minute that I followed your instructions on your Instagram page, and it was, mm-hmm. and then you responded.
Yep. Yeah, a lot of people tell me that it's super easy, and I take pride in that. You know,
you should, because are you reaching the point now where you're getting like return customers, and customers are referring other people? And is it this neighborhood?
I definitely have my established clientele who comes to me, my regulars. I have people coming in for monthly waxes every single month. So yeah, it's happening. I haven't really. I've had a few referrals. I feel like that's on my end, though. I'm not telling my clients enough, like, hey, I have this referral program. If you do this, then you get this. So I think that's on my end, but I have had some referrals. And then most recently, for February, I actually ran an ad on Instagram, and I'm surprised at how well it worked.
Really?
Because I've seen so many people talking about, like, oh, I ran ads, but they don't work. It worked for me. I got, like, I would say about 10 new clients, and that's good, because already with the first one client, paid off the ad.
Wow.
So, and I just, after that, I just kind of have to do my best to make sure that I give them a good service for them to return.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But I definitely have that steady clientele that's coming in, and I hope to, it's going to keep growing. Mm-hmm. I'm still growing my business. It's nowhere near what I want it to be, but for right now, I'm very happy with it.
Where do you think Latinos, Latinas are as far as like, these types of services, like our generation, like what, like we're both first generation. Mm-hmm. Where do you think we are with these types of services, like compared to like businesses in like Roseville and Folsom, that like I think we're more like their parents were getting these types of services. Where do you think we are as Latinos
specifically? I think the younger generations, so like my age people, we're all about it, you know. Where I feel like this generation, we prioritize self-care so much because we've seen how much, like, let's say our parents worked so hard and they weren't really able to treat themselves. I feel like we take that into account and we want to do what they couldn't do. Like everybody says, it's the generational thing where I want to do what my parents couldn't do, whether it's for yourself or for your kids. So I feel like the younger generation now, oh yeah, they're all about it. They come to us and it's funny because like we talk about it. I was literally just having this conversation yesterday at work. Like my mom, she knows what I do. She knows that I wax and everything. But the most we talk about is like, oh, I wax faces. Oh, I wax underarms. I wax legs. We don't talk about waxing coochies.
Uh-huh.
Just because I feel so shy about it with her. And also, I don't know. It's that generational thing, you know? Like, I feel shy about it.
Like,
so
like you know that you and your group of friends will sit and talk about it, but you know her and her comadres never talk about it, right?
And so, like, I think a lot of older señoras, they would be too shy to do it. Like, I've told some of my friends, like, get your mom to come in. She's like, no, she's too shy, you know? And I feel like that's very normal with that generation. However, there are some here and there that are about it. Like, when I was working at the waxing place, I had a lot of older women. However, I did notice a lot of the older women that I had that would come in, they were more white.
Mm-hmm.
Some black ladies, but I wouldn't get too many older Latina women.
Right.
What is a trend that I noticed. So I hope that answered your question. So yes, with the younger generation, I definitely see it. With the older generation, I do see a difference too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You said that I'm gonna switch the subject a little bit, but because you said, and this is something that I talk about with my friends and family all the time, is that our parents didn't treat themselves. to these types of services. Our parents also did not acknowledge their emotions, like their anxiety, their fears, and what, like, where do you see, like, let's talk about that, like, because you said that our generation is about taking care of ourselves. Like, where were you when you realized, like, fuck, that hurt me, like, I need to talk about this? And your parents are like, oh, you just got to be tough, right? Or that's just what's gonna happen, or, you know.
Oh my god, I don't know if I'm, my mom's never gonna hear this, right? Okay, I don't know. Think, I don't think she will. She's an older generation. She barely knows how to work her phone without me helping her. I don't know how. I think it was once I went away for college, and then I would come back home is when I started realizing all of these patterns with my mom and my dad, as far as mental health goes.
Mm-hmm.
My mom is traditional Latina Mexican woman. She's a gaslighter.
Oh,
she's a gaslighter. I don't want to talk.
No, we're not talking bad about our parents. We're saying that, like, we're trying. Okay, you know what, the girl that made these cups, she said it the best. She's like, I'm doing my best to break generational
generational curses.
She's like, I'm doing my best to break these generational curses, right? Uh-huh. Like, our parents didn't,
they don't acknowledge it.
They didn't take psychology classes. Uh-huh. They didn't read Freud. They didn't take philosophy. They didn't even, like, read Dear Abby, right? Mm-hmm. Like, maybe they didn't even read. Mm-hmm. You know, like, my mom never learned how to read or to drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, like, what they knew how to, and then they came to this world that was so not the world that they grew up in. Mm-hmm. And now they've got to navigate this world. And, like, when you said gaslighting, I had never thought about, like, my mom as a gaslighter. And when you said that, I was like, oh, fuck. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But also, like, I know that our parents, and maybe, like, I'll tell you this, our parents did the best they could with what they had. Definitely. And I forgive my mom and my dad for, like, everything that they didn't understand that they were doing to us. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that helps you.
No, yeah.
Like, you know, but when did you start taking care? When did you realize, shit, I'm not going to get that from my parents. I need to work on my own mental health.
Like I said, when I was in college and I would come home, that's when I started realizing it. I started being more vocal about it. I tried to communicate with my mom, but I feel like I would tell her, this is what you're doing. This is how it's affecting me. She would just flip it and turn it around. But that's the time. And then more towards the end of my college experience, once I graduated, once I was back home in their house, is when I started thinking more about, I need to do this for myself. I can't let this affect me.
Right. And where are you, like, in the hierarchy of the family? Are you the oldest, the youngest?
I'm the baby.
So am I.
I'm the baby of my family.
So how many?
Five.
I'm the youngest of six.
Oh, damn, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, we got so much in common.
Yeah. And so do you get the, did you get the, from your brothers and sisters, like, this is the way it is? Like, why are you?
I got the, why does she get to do that and we didn't?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like, I remember I had my first boyfriend in high school, and my sisters and my brothers would give me so much shit. They're like, why do you guys let her have a boyfriend, but we weren't allowed to do any of this? Why does he get to come over to the house, but we couldn't do that? So that's what I get. And I was spoiled up until I was about in...
Fuck, we're twins, dude.
I think I was in, like, late elementary or early middle school that spoiled me stopped, because that's when my mom started putting me to work to earn my money.
Okay.
So after that, I couldn't say that I grew up spoiled. Like, yeah, if I needed anything, my parents helped me. My parents helped me pay for college. So, I mean, that's mm-hmm. pretty freaking great. So that's that.
Did you guys all go to college?
No, only two of us did.
Okay.
Me and one of my older sisters.
And of the other siblings, are any of them still like, I'm gonna go back and finish, or they're trying to finish?
None of them went to school like that. I think one of them went to trade school to do welding. Mm-hmm. I think another sister also went to trade school to work in, not flight attendant, but working with travel agency kind of stuff.
Okay.
But uh-huh. One of them, he's still welding. She left from that career. But yeah, no, only two of us actually went to actual college.
Okay.
The other ones, they didn't really, it wasn't their thing.
Now that you've experienced college, and you've done that, and you've seen your brothers and sisters, some go to college, some not go to college. When it comes time for you to have children, if that's your path, are you going to be as Because, like, did your parents really push you to go to college? Or are you going to be like, just get a trade? Like, because, right?
I love this topic of conversation because I have such a strong opinion on it.
All right,
because
let's hear it.
It makes me really upset. Okay, so if I have kids, I want them to know that they have options. I don't want to push four-year university on them. When I was in high school, I don't really recall if my parents were like pushing college on me. I know that it was always one of my choices. I think it was my older sister who graduated from college. She was the one who was in my head the most, like, you're going to go to college. What are you going to do after? I could be wrong. I could be remembering things wrong. But I think it was always just kind of instilled in me that, like, okay, you're good in school. You're going to follow your sister's path and you're going to go to a four-year university right after high school. So that's what I did. And even when I was in school, I was in all 4 years, I was in the AVID program. And that's like the college prep readiness elective that we took. And I think even in that, I get so frustrated because looking back, I think they always pushed four-year university on us. I don't really remember them opening up the doors and like enlightening us, showing us that there's trade schools out there too,
right,
to do specific things. Because I think about it, it's so crazy. Like, I have my bachelor's degree, but I struggled so much after graduating college to find a job. And then meanwhile, I see like the people who I went to high school with, they're making so much fucking money and they didn't go to college at all. They got involved in a trade and look at them now. They're like making so much fucking dough. At least that's what they portray on Instagram, on social media from what we see. But I think all in all, in high school, at least our high school, I will say this is one thing. Maybe it was just this AVID program I was in. They did not do a good job of preparing us for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought that I had to go to a four-year university. I graduated, couldn't find a job. And now my degree is collecting dust.
Yeah.
So right. I wish that
okay, go ahead.
I wish that I had known that I had more options. Because for all I know, I would have gone to esthetician school instead of four-year university. However, I will say I do not regret going because all of the knowledge that I have now, no one can ever take that away from me.
And also, I think sometimes that we forget that college, that degree, it taught us not so much what we got the degree in, but it taught us to like manage our time, prioritize tasks, look at 15 things and realize I'm only going to be able to do 12 of these. This could, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's all these little things that we learned on the journey,
mm-hmm,
that I think
it teaches you a lot about growing up and transitioning into being an adult. Mm-hmm. So like some people who live in Sacramento, they opt to go to Sac State. Some people go away. I was one of the ones that wanted to get the hell out of here. And I feel like going away for school was definitely an experience. I mean, I went to Santa Cruz, UC Santa Cruz. You can imagine what that was like. Like, it was so much fun. But being away from my family, having to cook for myself, having to have my own job, you know, time management, all that stuff is things that I learned. And I grew up, you know, like I was forced to grow up because I didn't have my parents' shelter anymore, like, to do everything for me.
You came home and there wasn't food that your mom made earlier in the day.
Oh my God. You know, like when you're growing up and being Mexican, you're Mexican, yeah, right?
Si, yeah.
You want, like, Mom, can we get McDonald's? No, hay comida en la casa. Yeah. You know, there's frijoles.
There
was always frijoles. And I used to get so frustrated. Like, oh, I don't want to fucking eat this shit. And then when I went away for school and I would come home and there were frijoles, oh my God, it was the fucking best.
Yeah.
It was like such simple food, like huevos with egg. Huevos and frijoles with cheese, God, and tortillas. That's my fucking shit.
Like, I'll take that any day.
For dinner? Oh my God. And my boyfriend's like, he's like, why do you like this for dinner? That's breakfast food. I'm like,
I
no.
Love breakfast
it's
for dinner.
It's all day food, you know?
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah, beans is any meal.
Mm-hmm. For real.
Yeah.
For real, it is.
Where was I going with this? That was a good answer. I don't even know what I asked you.
I don't know either.
So what are you doing now to keep like your mental health good and all that? And how... Have you given up on trying to change your parents and you're just like, this is the way it is?
I have definitely given up on trying to change them. I still call them out when I feel like I need to. So that, I mean, yes, you're my parent, but you need to know that sometimes what you do is not okay.
And also, to make you feel a little bit better, you are not the first, only, or last of our generation that was like, my parents were gaslighters. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it happens. Yeah. It happened.
So as far as them, I've accepted it. That's who they are. I can't change them. As far as me taking care of my own mental health, I'm not going to lie to you. I've been struggling these last few months. I feel like what you see on social media is not what's always happening. As we know that, you know, social media is just this illusion of what people want to show.
Yeah, it's like 1% of their life.
Yes. And behind the scenes, I feel like the stress of starting my business has definitely impacted me, because some days I'm like, fuck, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go. Like, I love what I do, but it's like, I don't want to run the business. Like, it's so much work, and I wasn't prepared for how much stress I was going to be under. I started getting gray hairs right here, and I didn't have them before, and it's from the stress of my business. It's so much. So lately I've been struggling. Luckily I feel better now. I feel like I'm in a better area, place in my life. I have been trying to get in contact with a therapist or a counselor of some sort, so I could have someone professional to talk to help me with that stuff. To
Is that hard to do? Like, oh my God. Is it hard to do without? I'm going to guess, like, your two jobs, you don't have insurance, or you do have, or what's?
Okay, so with my job at the restaurant, I have only vision and dental, which I'm grateful for because it comes in so clutch. I didn't have medical insurance through them. So I had, what was it? The one through California?
Covered California?
No. The other one, the low income. I don't know what it was called. Medi-Cal. I had Medi-Cal, and then they cut me off in December because I started making too much money.
Oh my gosh.
I
was like,
fuck you guys. Where's the fucking money? I don't have it. and so they transferred me over to Covered California, and luckily I feel like the coverage I have now with that is better than what I had with Medi-Cal.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I have insurance. I have to do my monthly payments, but it's not a lot because they subsidize a lot of it for me. So thank them for that, you know.
You're welcome. Thank you. I work for them.
So do I. Yeah. Oh, you do? I thought you meant like your taxes went to
no,
it.
No,
oh,
no.
Oh, I appreciate it. Cool.
I work for the team that keeps that website up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Covered California?
Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for your service.
Don't forget your password.
Okay. But now I have coverage. I feel a little bit more secure. But, you know, it's going to still take me like another 2 months to get seen. So that's what sucks. But you know what? I'm grateful to have it and know that it's there versus not having it at all. Because not having health insurance is so stressful.
Oh, my God. How cognizant are you of when you're starting to have a bad anxiety or stress? Like, do you realize it when it's happening, or do you realize it 4 days later when you're like, oh my God, why am I so mean to everybody?
I realize it when it's happening, because you know, you can physically feel anxiety. Well, at least I can feel it in my stomach. I start getting in my head. I get really nervous talking to strangers, and at my job at the restaurant I talk to strangers all the time, so it's like I notice it there the most. That's the first place that it always hits me, like, oh shit, here we go. And then it just starts progressively getting worse. And that's when I'm like, fuck, what do I do? And usually going to the gym helps me.
Nice.
I feel like going to the gym is very beneficial for everybody, because you work that. What the doctor told me was, when we're feeling all these emotions of negativity and anxiety, our body's going into fight or flight mode. And when you're getting anxiety, when you're falling into depression, you're fighting yourself instead of fighting. So she says that the best way to handle that by yourself is to go release that energy at the gym by running, tiring yourself out, and doing all that kind of stuff. So that's how I've been trying to cope with it recently. But luckily, like I said, I've been getting better. So
yeah, because what it does is it takes your body out of fight mode and it puts your body in survival mode. And like your body can't do both at the same time. Like, your brain is going to go, like, you know. And so once you start breathing heavy and you start working up a sweat, now you're just fighting to survive, and you forget all this other stuff, even if it's just for a couple of minutes. But sometimes you only need a couple of minutes, right? Awesome. Let's talk. Okay, we've talked let's talk about your services and your shop and the neighborhood. Like, do you love the neighborhood that your shop ended up in? Did you growing up, did you think, Because growing up, you're probably like, I can't wait to get out of this fucking town. I can't wait to get out of this neighborhood. And now you've grown up and you're like, I'm going to plant a seed here. Like, this is it.
Yeah. Like, I don't see myself staying at that location forever. I do want to eventually expand and have my own, you know, shop for myself. Like, maybe even incorporate other people doing, you know, more services. So I do waxing, but I'm an esthetician, so I'm licensed to work with skin. I could see myself doing a bigger shop that has, like, barbers and cosmetologists. Someone's doing hair, someone's doing nails, you know, all that kind of stuff.
I love it.
Yeah. But for my first shop being here, I literally live 5 minutes down the street. How could, like, that's perfect right there, you know? I never thought that I would be working on Del Paso Boulevard. I didn't even know, like, before I got this shop, I never took the time to just walk up and down the boulevard. And when I finally did, I was like, damn, there's so many businesses here. There's so many small businesses here. There's so many cool things that I didn't know. There's so many bars. Like, I'm right by, what is it, King Kong Brewery?
Yeah.
I still haven't been there, but it's like a minute walk away from where I'm at. So yeah. I was like, damn. And then you keep going further down towards, like, if you're going to the downtown area, and there's still more things over there.
Have you been to the grilled cheese place? The Shift Coffee?
Yes. Yes. I've been there a few times.
Have you had the grilled cheese yet? Or yes. What are you going there for, tea?
I went in for, I don't know, some cappuccinos, I think. And then one time I did have a grilled cheese sandwich. It had chicken in it. I can't remember what it was called, but it was freaking bomb.
Yeah.
And I just take my laptop in there and I just, you know, work on things. And I feel really productive in there because it's a coffee shop. So it was cool.
Yeah. I love that place. Mm-hmm. And King Kong Brewery, I had my birthday show there.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We did a comedy show in the back. It was awesome. It was so dope. So how proud are you of this neighborhood? How much do you love Sacramento? And, like, what do you stick up for us when people talk about it?
Being a Sacramento native, like, born and raised here, I'm always like, oh, Sac sucks. But when I went away for school in Santa Cruz, I was like, you know what? I really love the city of Sacramento. Like, I take so much pride in being from Sac. I will defend us whenever I can. Yeah, like, I'm still like, I don't know what the fuck there is to do here, but, like, that's just because I don't take the time to look for it. But I love the city of Sacramento. I could see myself being here for a cool while, up until, I don't know, maybe in the future if my partner wants to go somewhere else. My dream would be to be rich enough to live in Santa Cruz and own a home out there.
Do you love Santa Cruz that much?
I love Santa Cruz. Like, it was the best of both worlds. You have the beach, you have the mountains. Like, it's just perfect. You want to go to the city, you want to go to the Bay Area, just hop on the freeway. It's right there. I loved it, but it's just so expensive. But for the meantime, I'm happy in Sacramento. I don't have any complaints. I mean, our weather is beautiful today. I love the rainy season. It sucks. Okay, our natural disaster here is what? Flooding?
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, is there wood?
Yeah.
I've never had any bad problems with that at our house or anything, but it's great here, you know?
Yeah.
And the fall time, oh, it's so beautiful. I love it. Oh my gosh,
I love the fall. I love driving through downtown and the trees, and it's just so great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite times of year here. Awesome. We're gonna turn the corner. We're gonna kind of start to wrap this up. Wait, I want to talk about your shop a little bit more.
Okay.
What's the most popular service?
Most popular service is Brazilians.
Is it?
Hell yeah. We're ripping that hair from the coochie. I love it. And I'm happy that that's my number one service, because that's what I want to be my most popular service. That's what I want to be known for. So I'm glad that I'm seeing that be my number one service. And I hope that it continues to be that way. When I was working at the waxing place before, that was also the very most popular service. So I don't know how many vaginas I have seen at this point.
Uh-huh.
And everybody always asks me, so, like, is it weird to be doing that? Like, do you feel uncomfortable? I'm like, girl, no, this is my, like, I'm professional about it. It's only weird if you make it weird.
If you let it be weird,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, if you let it be weird. And usually that's what I don't want at all. Like, I want people to come into my room, lay on my bed, and feel comfortable and confident when they leave. And I get really happy when people leave me reviews and they're like, oh, it was my first time getting a wax and she made me feel so comfortable. I felt really safe in her room. And I'm like, yes, that's what I strive for. I want people to feel that way with me, because I want them to feel like they can go somewhere. I mean, that's an intimate area, you know? You want to feel safe with the person who's doing it for you.
Right.
Yeah.
How, like, can you sense their level of uneasiness or nervousness when it's their first time?
Yes, they're always super nervous the first time. I mean, it's really intimidating. You have your legs wide open in someone's face, and you're about to go through some, I mean, it's a lie to say that it's not going to hurt. Like, it hurts pretty freaking bad. But I do my part to help ease that level of pain. I apply immediate pressure after, which helps relieve the sting a lot, and I just try to talk to people throughout the process, so that way their mind is not focused on what's going on and they're focused on the conversation. Mm-hmm. And then usually by the end of it, they're like, oh, you know, it wasn't that bad. That was, you know, it was what I tell people is, it's always worse in your head than what it actually is.
Yeah
So to anybody who's listening to this, if you want to try Brazilian, it's worse in your head than what it actually is. Once you get it done, you're going to be like, wow, that was not that bad. And then the results are amazing. They last and you have nice, smooth skin. So it's cool.
All right. What about like facial skin? Like what, like, are people taking care of their face?
Facial skin? Yes. I mean, I don't really get too many people who come in to wax their face. I do enjoy waxing faces. It's so satisfying. It helps remove like all the peach fuzz. You know, people clean up their eyebrows. A lot of people come in for their nose. You know, nose is actually really popular amongst the men.
Is it?
Yes.
That's like, well, what else can we do? You know, like the nose and the eyebrows.
Uh-huh. Some people also, so a lot of guys also get their ears. I mean,
I got my first ear hair the other day.
Oh, really?
And it was white. It was white. Yeah,
I do get some in for the face. It's just not too popular. It's not what I push the most, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm happy to do it for anybody who wants it. And whenever you wax your face, you're also like exfoliating some of that skin off, so it leaves you with nice, smooth skin.
Okay, I try to take care of my face.
Yeah, I remember when you came in and I saw your intake form, you had all these skincare products on there. I don't remember what it was. It wasn't Biome, it was Tula. I was like, dang, he takes care of his skin.
Well, one of my best friends worked for Tula for like years and years, and I still have Tula stuff. Like, I was Tula spoiled. She still has like a garage full of stuff. So it's like sometimes I'll go without, I'll like be rummaging through. So, but I love that Tula stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I've gotten now where I have to pay for the Tula skin, the 24/7 moisturizer. I love it so much. And I have like an exfoliating scrub and exfoliating. I like to wash my face with the cleanser, and I'll leave it on my face and I'll shave it off.
Interesting.
And that I feel like I can feel the difference. Like,
yeah,
I feel so fresh when I do that.
That's interesting. So instead of using like a shaving cream, you're using the already lathered cleanser.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So that's my beauty tip.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that with your followers. Where is this going to be put on?
I put it I don't know. No, I put it on, it's on iTunes, it's on Spotify, it's anywhere where you can stream podcasts. Do you listen to podcasts?
I don't.
You probably don't, because you don't like your job, like your restaurant job, you're walking around, you can't be listening to a podcast.
Mm-mm.
But like a lot of like office workers and people that have like long commutes, they listen to podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play. It's on all of those streaming services.
So I got Apple Music. I can listen to this.
Yeah, I'll send you a link.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it'll be dope. It'll be dope. I finish up the podcast with this segment, and sometimes I pre-send the questions to you, but I didn't want to send them to you, but I do these five easy questions, and I promise you they're easy.
Okay.
Okay, so are you ready?
I'm a little nervous.
Don't be nervous. Okay, so the first question is, who or what inspires you?
Oh, that's you said it was easy.
That's easy.
Oh, who inspires me?
Or what?
What inspire? Honestly, I'm so invested in my business right now that a lot of the really well-off estheticians that I follow inspire me.
Ooh.
Like how they've grown their business and just watching them, how they are now teaching other people to do it.
I was gonna say, are you like getting mentored by any of them, or like do you reach out to any of them and ask them questions?
Not so much right now, but I know that when the time comes and I feel like I need to learn more, I definitely will. I have those few people in my head who I know that I'm gonna reach out to for that kind of stuff.
When the time comes, are you going to be ready to mentor somebody?
Oh, definitely. I wanted to be a teacher in the past, so I feel like I could still be a teacher now, just with a different topic of beauty instead of education and curriculum and all that kind of stuff.
I felt myself wanting to cough. So, All right. Question number two. We haven't talked about anything like this. What are you currently binging? Like, what are you reading anything? Are you watching something? Like, what are you, what is something that you just can't get enough of right now?
The show that I just binged was, I mean, it took me a few weeks to watch the entire series, but I just finished This Is Us on Netflix.
Hell yeah.
It was so good.
How many times did you cry? Like, were you just like, I just want to cry?
I didn't cry as many times as I thought I would, but I did. I probably cried about like 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
Maybe. Right. When the mom died. Oh, that was sad.
Okay. She dies? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh my God. Did I just ruin it for you? Yeah, so that's something that I'm binging. Right now, I just started Insecure for the second time, and I'm already on season 2, and I literally just started it last night. So you could say I'm binging that right now, too. Okay.
Do you have Hulu?
I canceled my Hulu.
Oh, I was going to say, you got to binge Reservation Dogs.
What's that about?
It's about these kids that are about to graduate high school, and they live on an Indian reservation. And it's so good.
Sounds good.
It's so good. And the episodes are only 30 minutes long. And there's only 3 seasons. So you could watch the whole, all 3 seasons in a week.
Okay.
I think it took us like a week per season, but it's good.
I've noticed that I like watching shows about teenagers in high school.
Oh.
I don't know
you
why.
You gotta watch it. You gotta watch it.
Okay.
Okay. Question number 3. What are you afraid of?
Oh, I'm afraid of dying in a fire.
A fire specifically.
Yeah. But they say that when you die in a fire, it's actually the quickest way, and it's not that bad because your nerves get burned off, so you don't even end up feeling it. But that's
just, well, that's good to know.
That's just one of my fears.
They said drowning is one of the worst ways to die.
Yeah. Also, I'm actually really afraid of heights, is what I've learned as I've become an adult.
Really?
Like, don't get me wrong, I love roller coasters. I can be on those rides, and like, they're thrilling, they're fun. Like, I don't have a problem when I'm on them. But when I'm like, I gotta climb up a ladder, and I'm like, far off the ground, that shit's scary to me. So I think you could say I'm afraid of heights too. I'm also low key afraid of the dark.
Really?
Just a little bit.
I like sleeping in complete darkness.
Me too.
Yeah.
But I'm still a little scared.
With music on? Do you need white noise?
I can't sleep with music on anymore.
I need white noise.
Once upon a time, I used to, but not anymore. I needed to be pretty silent.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What's the last concert you went to?
Oh, Santa Fe Clan.
I don't even know what that is. I'm not that okay. Mexican.
Santa Fe Clan. He's a Mexican rapper. Okay. I believe he's from Guanajuato.
That's where my parents are from.
Oh, really?
Yeah. GTO.
Yeah. So he's a Mexican rapper. He's pretty. Oh, he's.
Where'd you see him?
Where I saw him at Golden One, he was with, have you heard of Snow the Product?
Yeah.
She was there at his concert, and also there was another rapper. His name is Tornillo.
Uh-huh.
He's another Mexican rapper. But that was the last concert that I went to, but it was so much fun. I went by myself. Uh-huh. I've been to a few concerts by myself. His was the last one, but it was so much fun. Like, he put on a really good show. You should listen to his music.
I love that you went to a concert by yourself.
Oh, yeah. I've also seen Daddy Yankee by myself in his farewell tour. That was fucking lit. I've also seen Bad Bunny by myself. Fucking lit.
Wow.
Yeah.
What's the next concert you're going to?
I don't know.
You don't have tickets right now for something?
I don't have any planned right now. I mean, I was tempted to buy more Bad Bunny tickets and see him for the fourth time.
Treat yourself.
I don't know. I haven't listened to his new album, so I don't really feel like I would be into it as much. And I just... it's not something that is higher of a priority right now to spend my money on. So
okay.
I think I might just hold off. But yeah, that was the last concert that I went to. It was pretty fucking dope.
I'm going to see Madonna on Saturday.
Oh, really?
I'm so fucking excited.
That's her right there, right?
Yeah, that's right there. Yeah, she's all over this place.
Where is she going to perform?
Golden One.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Damn.
I'm so excited about that. You know what's the best part about going to a concert at Golden One? Or going to a concert anywhere? I love walking out and getting a hot dog.
Yes.
Yes. Oh, do you love street food?
I love street food. I remember when I was in school in Santa Cruz, when we wanted to go clubbing, we'd go to San Jose. And every time after the club, we'd hit up the street vendors with the hot dogs.
Oh,
it was a bomb.
They're the best.
And every now and then I catch myself like, I'm craving one. And I'll just buy the ingredients, make it myself at home. And they hit just as hard, if not better, because I made it.
I love the grilled onions. I'll get them. Yes. I just want grilled onions. I love...
my mouth is watering.
I love being able to order food in Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best.
I feel like I stutter a little bit and I get a little nervous. I know I'm fluent in Spanish, but I'm like, when I'm speaking to someone who I know is fluent in Spanish, I get really nervous.
My Spanish is horrible.
Yeah?
Yeah. My Spanish is good enough to impress a white girl. That's it.
You know, as long as you can have a conversation with someone in Spanish and who doesn't speak English, you get the point across. I feel like that's more than enough.
Yeah, because I think they realize that your Spanish is as good as their English.
Yeah,
that's what I was driving Lyft last night, and the guy mm-hmm. told me that. He's like, your Spanish is probably as good as my English.
Yep.
So, you know, they realize it too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, question number four. If you were on death row, what would your last meal be?
Oh, it'd have to be something. Okay, my favorite foods are seafood, spicy, tangy, limey. So it would have to be something like in that combination.
Camarones al diablo?
No.
No?
Maybe like aguachiles.
Oh, shit.
Oh, no. Maybe a seafood boil. I don't know. As long as it has all those elements, I'm good.
My neighbor next door, the wife works at one of those boil places.
Uh-huh.
And every once in a while, the kid will come over with the bag full. And I'll be like, oh, yes.
Damn, that's so clutch.
It's bomb. I love this neighborhood.
Oh, my mouth is watery. I need to go eat something.
The last question, what's next? What's next for you?
What's next? Shoot. Well, I'm obviously just going to keep expanding my business, getting better and better every day, learning more every day. And who knows? I just hope to, within the next year, maybe not even the next year, in the next 5 years, I would like to find a new place where mm-hmm. I can expand. Like I talked about earlier, having more people join in on what I'm doing
yeah.
and do that. I want to be a business owner.
You are a business owner.
A bigger business owner.
Okay, I want to say you are a business owner.
I want to expand on it. And eventually, I want to have other people working for me so I can spend more time with myself and with whoever I want to spend time with. You know, whether it's my family, whether it's my partner, if we have kids, stuff like that. So that's it. That's the next move. That's the five-year plan for me.
That's great.
I would say, yeah.
That's great.
Uh-huh.
This is kind of off topic, but how scary was it doing your taxes this year?
You know, I actually had a CPA. I hired a CPA to do it for
Smart.
Me. So it was so easy because leading up to it, I was dreading it. I was like, fuck. Like, I don't want to get in trouble with the IRS. I want to make sure that everything's done right. So I was like, you know what? Let me just hire somebody. At the end of the day, it's going to be a business write-off for next year's taxes. So it wasn't even that bad. And he helped me so much. And I got my refund back maximum I could. I didn't have to pay anything. Bless. Because it is a very brand new business. And let's be real. I'm still at a loss. So mm-hmm. I didn't owe any money. So that was cool.
That's great.
But bless him. His name is Vincent Ha. If anybody needs a CPA for small businesses, he did such a good job. And he's still continuing to help me if I need any, if I have any questions.
How good a job did you do on the bookkeeping? Like when you handed him over the stuff, was he happy or was he like, you should have done this, you should have done this?
He was like, honestly, this is solid. You did a really good job. I literally just used Google Sheets and track all my expenses. I kept track of every client that I had, how much they paid me, how much they tipped me, all that kind of stuff. So I feel like I did a good job on my end. However, I did procrastinate and I had like this fat stack of receipts that I had to go through. But once I got into the groove of it, it was like very therapeutic for me. So it wasn't as bad as I expected. So I know that next year I will definitely be more prepared and feel a lot more confident doing the same thing. But it wasn't that bad. Get a CPA if you're a small business owner and you're new to this. Do yourself a favor. It'll save you a lot of stress.
Awesome. Elizabeth, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
This was
so
much
fun. And yeah, and I'll come see you soon.
Yeah.
The nose hairs are kind of getting out of control.
I always say I love seeing your face in my bed. No, I love seeing your face on my table.
I get it. That's another podcast.
All right.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye, everybody. Bye.